Gromansky about the union of Shatness, because the Bachem here also learning about Shatness. So this week I really want to get back on track to speak about Chovetz Talmidim. But before we do, I would like to just mention something from the parasha which I feel compelled to speak about, because it's very, I believe, relevant to what's happening today, at least here in this country. In this week's parasha, there is an extreme amount of action. It's an action-packed parasha. So much going on in this week's parasha. Parashas Vayeshev is speaking about Yosef and his brothers, and there's friction between the two of them, and then there's a confrontation, there's wild dreams, there's wild stuff, there's snakes, scorpions, sold, slaves, there's all different types of crazy, wild stuff going on. There's a tremendous amount of action that happens in this week's parasha. Now, the action that happened in this week's parasha is tragic in its nature. The Meshech Chochma tells us that we are suffering from this terrible friction between Yosef and his brothers ad hayoyim hazeh. And when we speak about in the davening, Umachlon l'shifte yishurim, that according Mavir Hashmoseim b'chol dor v'dor, Mavir Hashmoseim b'chol dor v'dor, says the Meshech Chochma, every generation still has lingering effects of the Mechiras Yosef, of that terrible, terrible story that we, Klal Yisrael, went through. And we are still suffering from it this very day. If one of us would have been present at that moment, and there they are, there's a confrontation between two major powers. Yosef HaTzadik, he was like an ox, he was so strong. And Yehuda, Reuven, the Shvatim, they're fighting with each other, and there's so much going on between them, and he's being thrown into a pit. They grab his coat off, they dip it into blood, they sell him as a slave. There's so much going on, and we're there, and we're cheering, and we're smiling, and we're laughing, and we're taking pictures, and we're telling everyone the story. Do you know what an embarrassment that would be? Do you know how hurtful that is? How heartless that is? This is the biggest tragedy in the history of our people. This is tragic. How could you laugh at this? How could you smile? How could you even look at it? It's horrible. It's horrors. I can't stand to see this. It's so painful to watch brothers fight with each other, raise arms to each other, hurt each other. That's not the way we act. That's not who we are. This is the epitome of Chorban. And it's been affecting us from generations to generations. If someone would be able to watch the machloikis of the Shvatim with a smile on his face, because he's excited, because there's action. It's heartless, my friends. It's pure heartless. This is tragedy. If a person would be forced to watch it, you should cry. My friends, anytime there's a hafgana that happens in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Because it means there's going to be friction. Now, friction can mean action, but it's very, very sad. It's a sad thing. For a person to want to go to watch, and now if he wants to go watch other protests in other countries of other people that are fighting against each other, and they're breaking store shop windows, and they're looting, and their police are shooting water cannons, because it's not to hate! It's not our problem. But here in Yerushalayim, it has a different nature. This is the epitome of Churban. This is all the pain and suffering that Klal Yisrael is enduring, that the Shekhinah is enduring. This is a horror for us. It's a horror. It's something that we should try our hardest to stay away. First, I want to tell you a mashal. This story did not happen. A similar story happened. Maybe I'll tell you about it a different time. The mashal is that there was once a fellow who he lived in a nice apartment building. He had a nice apartment. He enjoyed, you know, neighbors. He enjoyed everything that was going on. One of his neighbors decided he was going to open a furniture store in his house. He was going to start selling, you know, by catalog. And, you know, create a little bit more traffic in the hallways, but it wasn't such a big deal. And he'd come in, and people would come, customers would come, you know, different times of the day, different times of the night. Knew he could put up with it. But then, his neighbor decided he wanted to start selling furniture in the house. Well, you know, you can't fit all the furniture in the house, so he started putting furniture in the hallway. He started putting furniture outside the front of the building. He was selling beds. He had beds like everywhere. And this neighbor, you know, used to have this nice, quiet, sleepy house. He felt like, you know, this person's infringing on his comfort zone. Like, you know, it's like all of a sudden I gotta like walk around the beds and I've gotta. And there was this one bed by the entrance of the building that Mamish used to make him crazy. Because every time he had to like, you know, walk around the bed and he was driving him nuts. And this was illegal. We're making him crazy. He decided that's it. He's had enough. He's going to call the police. This is illegal. You can't open a store in the middle of this is a residential area. Call the police. The police came down. And of course, they shut down the operation. They made him take his bed away. They made him take all the furniture out. The next day, this guy's feeling good about himself. You know, Baruch Hashem, now I can walk like a mensch. I don't have to step around the beds and the chairs, and there's no people coming into the building anymore. Everything's great. He comes home that night. And his mother-in-law's there, his father-in-law's there, his sister-in-law's there. His wife is crying horribly. Is what happened. He said, our 3-year-old daughter, she climbed onto the ledge of the window. And, you know, we don't have bars on the windows. And before I was able to grab her, she fell out the window. She fell 3 stories. Right to the spot where that bed used to be. And if only that bed was there, his daughter would be alive today. Now she's dead. He's feeling all good about himself. You know, I took care of the problem. That bed would have saved his daughter's life. Could you imagine the regret, the remorse, the pain that that person would feel, even though he had no way of knowing, and he probably had the right to do what he was doing, but he wouldn't want to talk about it ever again. He wouldn't want people to say, let's, what happened over there? I'm like, this is way, way too sensitive. What I'm about to tell you is a true story. There's a young man in Lakewood, just lost a child. And he was so traumatized, he hasn't stepped back foot in his apartment since it happened. The baby didn't even die in the apartment. But just going to the apartment and seeing like their children's clothing and couldn't do it. He has not stepped, he's selling his apartment, he's not going back in, nothing, zero. It's too painful for him. It's too traumatic. I can't even see it. To go to watch this like it's some sort of event. It's a spectator sport. It's horrors, my friends. Horrors. And if we have a heart in our soul, if you have any feeling in your heart, don't go there. This is a tragedy that a Jew is going to fight another Jew. And true, there are Rabbanim that are saying people should go. The Rabbanim are saying go with a heavy heart. They're not saying let's go, have a good time, let's watch, because this is fun, this is cool. That's not what they're saying. Rabbanim are saying this hurts so much, we don't have a choice. But for spectators to go, just for fun, we don't even know which side we're on. We're not even sure. Do we want it? Do we not want it? I don't even know. What am I going for? I'm not going for that. I'm going because this is going to be action. What do you say? We have to think about it a little bit. A little bit deeper than that. This is really, really sad. And we would like to see an end to all strife, all machlokes. See an end to the Churban of Tisha B'Av. And Beis Hashem, if we can try to internalize and understand the importance of Avas Yisrael, understand the importance of Achdus in Klal Yisrael, hopefully we will be reunited as a people and be reunited with our Father, and we'll be Zoicha to be Mekabel Mashiach. But it's work that we have to do. Okay, I'd like to continue on with some of the Heilige Piyasetzna. We've been moving along here in the Hakdama. We're on page Yagimel. And over here what we're talking about is that you can't just blame the children. We spoke about the story of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim cared so much about Shabbos that when someone's Mechal Shabbos and Raten, he cried hot tears, and those tears dripped on the hands of this Mechal Shabbos, and he swore in that moment never to be Mechal Shabbos again. And I myself, by the way, was in a taxi with a Yid, and he told me, we're talking about a Rebbe of mine, a closer Rebbe of Rabbi Stark or Moshe Shapiro. Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, Rabbi Stark was very close with him. He passed away just a few short years ago. And this taxi driver told me the following story. One time, he came to pick up Rav Moshe Shapiro in Beit Dagan. And he was waiting there. And as he was about to turn his car on, apparently the car was off, he told me the story, Rav Moshe put his hand on his hand. He said, Rega, one second. Atah shomer Shabbat? You keep Shabbos? In other words, I can't go in this car unless you keep Shabbos. Atosh Omer Shabbat. And he told me that was the last time he was Mechal Shabbos. Because Rav Moshe Shapiro said it with so much, it was so genuine, with so much feeling. Atosh Omer Shabbat. And he said, Achshav Ani Shomer Shabbat. Yes, I'm going to keep Shabbos. And if we would have that type of feeling, sensitivity, care for our Talmidim, they wouldn't turn out this way. We wouldn't have people going off the derech. Im Kain, as we're up to the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel, Anachnu Ador HaGodol Mehem, the people that are older in our generation, Dor HaMechanech Oysam, those that are in charge of giving the education, Asher Aleinu HaChoyv, it's our obligation, Limsor Lehem, to give over to them, Es Kedushas Hashem Toirosoy V'Avadosoy, to give over to them this tradition that we have. This amazing Mesoira of Torah and Avoida. Im Yecholim Anu Loimar. Can we actually say, B'menuchas HaNefesh, with peace of heart, Yodeinu L'Shafchu HaSadam HaZeh, we have not spilled this blood. Can we say, we're not guilty? Al Nafshos Yisrael Leber Shachas. The Nefashos of Klal Yisrael that have sunken to the depths of oblivion. Manoimar Lefnei Yoshev Moroim. What are we going to say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ubamem Nitztadek, and how can we justify Lefnei Shoichen Shchokim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kasher Yavoi, Lifkoid, Al Tzvar Moroim Baoretz, Hashem comes and says, okay, I gave you children. I gave you this generation. It's your job to educate them. Where are they? Soy marisoy. These are the flock. The flock of your herd that you're supposed to be watching them. Asher biyodenu hofket. Hashem put them in our hands. We relied on our responsibility. Hashem mimoroim yishag, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from in the heavens he will roar. And up there in his abode, his voice will rise. Bonai heichon heim, where are my children? Bonai rechumai, my sons, my precious children, Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, heichon heim, where are they? You know, I heard from our Moshe Shapiro, we just mentioned. He said, according to sociologists, there should be over 100 million Jews in America today. There should be over 100 million Jews. How many Yidden are there in America today? Less than 10 million. So America has killed off 90 million Jews. And it's not anti-Semitism or persecution. We're losing them just because they're assimilating. Where are they? 90 million Jews have been wiped off the face of the earth in America alone. Where are they? It's because no one gave them enough of an appreciation for Shabbos, for Kashrus, for davening. So we got to do something about this. We're shrinking. We're disappearing. So conservative and reform, they came up with a plan. Their plan was, sure, let's make more converts. So Jewish mother, Jewish father, don't make a difference. Just, you know, anyone who wants to come, join the fold. We need to inflate our numbers. You know what I mean? So let's just take anyone, any convert who wants to, that's great. That's, you know, that at least we'll get better numbers. It's a short-term proposition, but that's not going to last. I mean, it's not lasting. But we're not doing that. We just got to do a better job. So let's try to figure this out. And it's famous, the Vart from the Chassidish Rebbe. I don't remember who it's from. It's in the Sefer Me'ein in Ma'ona Shel Torah. When Yehuda goes to Yosef in the end of this whole story of the Shvatim, and now Binyamin's at the risk of being slave to Paro forever, as far as he understands. And he tells Yosef, listen, I promised my father that I'm going to bring this boy back. Ve'eich ele el avi ve'hanar einenu iti. How in the world am I going to go up to my father? Yosef said, you go back home, the kid stays with me. Eich ele el avi. How can I go back up to my father? V'hanar einenu iti. And I don't have that young man with me. My Ma'onash Torah says, how do we go to Shemayim? And the younger generation is disappearing. Eich ele el avi. How can you go up to Shemayim and not be concerned? Hashem's going to ask you, v'hanar einenu iti. What's happening over here? Where's everyone disappearing to? V'im be'emes roitzim anu lashuv el Hashem u'lesaken es asher ivasnu bazeh. If we really want to do tshuva, and we want to fix what's broken here, aleinu lehakir gam es chelik ashmoseinu bazeh. We have to figure out what we're doing wrong. It's very good to speak about the younger generation, their problems and their issues, but we're doing something wrong. Let's figure out what's our problem. Ki af im bahem petza, even though it's true, the younger generation is much more challenging, and they've got their issues, asher lo hayu bibnei noar, asher lefanim, that word didn't exist in previous generations. Anu, lama hiznachnu oisam, but why have we forsaken them? Mibli chakor, without trying to investigate. Ubli hamoid al machalas nafshim, to try to understand. So what is their issue, so we can deal with it and cure it and solve the problem? Ba'odem rakum, they're still young. Ubi yadenu, and they're in our hands. Ladach ladas eich ubamel rapoisam. So we should know how and with what to heal them. Sha'al kol asher nachboitz natem. That whatever we want, we can guide them in that direction. V'ayim yisborach ha'av biliboy. Can a father be proud in his heart? Oy apetropes ayel lemar. Or the one who is in charge of the child saying, Chof ani, menumi hayelet, is that my fault? I'm not guilty? Im reishis machalosai, rak petza koten haya. If it could be, in the beginning, it was just a small little infraction. It was a flaw, a teeny little, it was barely recognizable. Asher yochlo lehirofe, you could have healed it. V'rak behisrash lusay, nispashta v'seivorev hirkiva. But because you weren't careful, you didn't finish the job, you didn't cleanse him, you didn't fix it, you didn't help him work through that small little issue, it spread, and now his limbs are totally rotten. But this past Matzei Shabbos, something traumatic happened to me. So something got into my head. I decided I want to try to call all of my alumni. It's a lot of people. And I'm calling people that I haven't spoken to in a long time, some of them. Some of them I still stay very close with. Some of them I don't. Call America on Matzah Shabbos, you have to be up mighty late. I was up mighty late. And I call one of my alumni from like a long, long time ago. I'm talking to him, still single. So where are you living? He said, Los Angeles. And I'm thinking to myself, Los Angeles, that's 3 hours earlier than New York. It's Matzah Shabbos. So as fast as I could, I hung up the phone. And I realized that this boy needs a lot of help. Now, whose problem is that? Whose fault is that? It's obviously my fault. And if we'd be more careful, if we would take more time, maybe if I would have called him 3 years earlier, I don't know, but maybe he wouldn't be answering his phone on Shabbos. And he didn't leave yeshiva that way, but he didn't get enough in yeshiva that he could withstand being a bachur. He's a bachur. He's already got to be 30 years old already. It's rough, you know, it's rough out there. But that's my fault. And this is something that we have to take seriously. What are we doing to assure that this is not going to happen again? What are you doing to assure that it's not going to happen to you? Because he was here in this Beis Medrash, probably listening to the same shmuz. And we, you know, I committed to try to keep up with him and see if, you know, what I could do to try to help him make his way back. But it's something that we have to realize is a serious problem, and it's a serious risk. B'chol ashmasam u'bekilkulam, with all of their mistakes, all of their problems, all of their flaws, al lanu lagol eskol ha'ashama al bnei anor bavad, we cannot roll over all of the blame onto the younger generation alone. U'lahitztadek rak ba'anocha, and to feel good just with a groan. Oy, makes us feel good because we're like, we're groaning. Oy, b'nei anoyar. Oy, what's going to be? Aleinu lehargish ke'ev. It has to hurt. V'daigas halev. And it has to worry us. Gam al hisrash lusenu. On our laziness. On what we're doing wrong. Rak oz nuchal. Only then are we able to chapesh. Are we able to search? What do we have to fix? How can we do a better job? Lirape es shever amenu. We have to heal the fracture of our people. V'lashem nispala. Let's daven takodesh baruch hu. Sheyoyreinu darkoi. Hashem, show us your path. V'es lev ha'even. And the heart of stone shall bnei anoyar. The heart of stone of the younger generation, Yosir, remove that heart. V'kulonu yachad, and let us all together, nizke, let us be zoicha, let us merit lo'avdeyu be'emes, to serve Hashem in truth, u'beleiv shalom, with a complete heart. V'li'ois mi Yisrael, and let us be from Klal Yisrael, asher b'cho espor, that Hashem, you're proud of us. V'yoymar, and Hashem will say, chazu bonai. Take a look, lahai bro, look at this child, this son of mine. Ta'aseinu legaboch. This son that has come to me, this son that's here, that I have brought. So we have a job to do. We have to try to analyze the situation. We have to try to take it seriously. How are we going to fix what's wrong here? There's serious issues. We all know that there's serious issues. So we can just say it's not our problem, but it is. It is our problem. So let's try to understand what we can do. Loy behasharos, not like vague, fluffy, ideas. Rak bechukim esonim, but with strong laws, uvuvdus chazokos, facts, solid facts. Aleinu levar, we have to explain. Barishoina, first things first. Ma hachiluk bein dar ledar, what's going on? What's the difference between different generations? What's happening new now? Lama bedaris hakoidmin lamu, why was it in previous generations? Kol chinuch shehu, any chinuch that happened at all. Hayamayo, that would help. V'talmide kol malamed ubnei kol av rubam kekulam ayoyev de Hashem. And back in the day, practically everyone was an Eved Hashem. Lo'ichinata, that's not the way it is anymore. Why are we so fickle? Why are we so sensitive? Why are we so fragile? It was in previous generations where, the chinuch, we didn't have gurus of chinuch back in the day. There's teachers used to have sticks. They used to hit their Talmidim. Nowadays, no one would get away with hitting his Talmud. Well, in America, at least. No one would get away with that. Why is it that back in the day, the Rebbeim, I remember, I had horror stories from, like, a cheder in Baltimore. Rather not say its name, but anyone that's from Baltimore knows what I'm talking about. Where he would... The Rebbe would hang a bucher from a hook and just like slap him. Like, this is, I know he's like a nice, he survived that. We can't survive anything anymore. Rebbe looks at us wrong, and then, the bucher all of a sudden, why are people so much more sensitive? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming a Talmud for being sensitive. It's a generational thing. But why is this happening? We have to understand, why are we this way? Why is the temperament of Talmidim so much different than it used to be? Why is it that, like, even mediocre chinuch used to go, used to fly, and was fine, and now everyone mechanech has to, like, learn exactly how to talk to the Talmidim and what to say to them, and they should learn that, don't get me wrong. They should learn that, and they should do that, and I'm not... We just have to understand what is different, what has changed. For sure, if we can make ourselves more durable, if we can make ourselves that we can withstand more, we'd be better off. But that's not the point. The point is, let's try to understand what's about this generation that they're so fragile. Why is it that way? And maybe if we understand it, then we could start fixing it. We'll continue with that, Be'ez Hashem, hopefully next time.